Vegas Bad Boys Podcast presents Matt Michaels, People I Don't Hate.
This is Darwin Finch, and you're listening to the Vegas Bad Boys Podcast.
Hey everybody, it's Matt Michaels along with Sin City Steve, and right now we have one of the coolest dudes around, a ring announcer who I don't think many ring announcers around this country can hold a light to right now. And that's Joshua Shibata. Josh, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me on the show, guys.
Yeah, I'm glad we finally were able to get it together and get you on. And I guess my first question for you is, how is it that you are able to keep yourself in such good freaking shape? It's like, I want to get back into shape. Like, what is your regimen like to maintain?
Yeah, it's to be honest, it's just a lot of discipline. I mean, I haven't always been like as physically fit as I am now. That this pretty much started like post college, but you know, as a kid growing up, I was always doing sports. I was into martial arts, baseball, all that stuff growing up. But I think what's been really, really good, especially when it comes to the martial arts aspect, my parents instilled into me a lot of discipline, a lot of self-motivation, and then transferring that as you get older into physical fitness, it just kind of always driven me to just try to be the best at whatever it is that I want to do. And so, yeah, when I started focusing a lot post-college into getting into shape, it just became routine, you know. It helps a lot, really. You know, I'm a personal trainer as well on the side, and I know the struggle that it takes for people to stay into shape. And what really helps, I'll be honest with you, what really, really helps is just my lifestyle in general. I'm single. I have a significant other, but I don't live with her right now. I don't have kids. I am very solitary. I hang out with friends, but I don't hang out with them as often as I used to, like back in college. And that's usually like the hardest thing, you know, when you're going out with friends and you go out to go eat dinner and everything.
Yeah.
And that's so hard to do. Everybody's eating pizza and chicken and whatever. And you're kind of like, can I just get like a piece of chicken that's not fried? You know, it's very, very hard to do. But, you know, again, solitary lifestyle, it's real easy to maintain the discipline.
Yeah.
And so that helps a lot. That really helps a lot. And again, you know, I don't have a regular 9-to-5 job. So I have the time to kind of work out. When you asked earlier about what my regimen is, I'll be honest, I'm usually at the gym, you know, anywhere from 2 to 4 hours a day.
Okay.
So that's a lot of time,
yeah.
To kind of put in. Granted, it's not all working out all that time, but I mean, I do definitely more than one workout a day. Give myself a little time in between to kind of rest and recover. But you know, you do that at a consistent base, you're bound to start seeing certain results, and it gets easier. To be honest, it gets a little bit easier if you make a routine. It's very, very hard if you only do it, you know, every so often. If you start a couple weeks and then you fall off and then you try to get back on, it's very, very hard to maintain. So really, it's just discipline. It's a lot of discipline, but it's just also staying in a routine and kind of having, you know, I'll be honest, kind of a boring lifestyle for me. Outside of going off to doing like wrestling shows and MMA events, I really don't do too much else. So that kind of helps for me to maintain my fitness.
Well, you got
definitely, man.
Yeah, you got to keep it together and discipline. And I'm definitely going to follow the advice of trying to get into the gym a little bit longer, or 2 times a day. That's great advice.
Yeah, and you know, it's all baby steps, man. I mean, I tell people, especially that I train, you can't. We live in a society right now that's such instant gratification. You know, it's, I got to see results now. I got it. Like, if I'm going to go in one day, that means tomorrow I should have lost 5 pounds. You know, I should already start seeing muscle. It's like, unfortunately, that's not how it works. But people get so caught up in just this instant gratification that as soon as they don't see results, they feel defeated and they don't want to do it anymore. Because working out is hard. It's very hard. It's very, very hard. It's tough. But and I know the struggle, like I said before, so I sympathize and I understand. But, you know, it's baby steps. If you could do a little bit here, a little bit there, like you said, start two times a week. Then, hey, you know, you start to feel good. Let's go three. Then, hey, let's go every other day. Hey, you know, I could almost sit now every day, maybe give yourself one day to rest. You should rest, obviously. That's super, super important. I learned that the hard way. You have to have a little bit of balance, obviously. But, again, it's baby steps. And the more that you kind of get yourself to build up to it, then it starts to get a little bit easier. And then you start to see the results. And then you feel really good about yourself. And then it starts to work. But it's hard. It's really, really hard to do. But it's not impossible. I always tell people, it's not impossible. It's just hard. But it's worth it if you really put your effort into it.
Without a doubt, man. And actually, a lot of us in the Vegas area know you from your ring announcing duties in Future Stars of Wrestling. And for that matter, you've done ring announcing in numerous other feds. What got you into doing that? And going down the path of doing ring announcing?
Sure. Well, to be honest, it was just to make money. Mm-hmm. I've a little background of me. I've been a wrestling fan since I was a kid. Honestly, my mother was actually the one that got me into pro wrestling. You know, I was sick one day as a little kid, and back when there were such things as video stores, warehouses, you know, Hollywood videos and stuff like that, she rented WrestleMania 3. And I watched that, and you know, when Hogan slammed Andre, that immediately got me hooked, and that was it. I was a wrestling fan from then on out. So, you know, long time wrestling fan. Obviously, like I said, I have a background in martial arts, and so obviously an MMA fan, kickboxing, all sorts of combat sports. And one day a friend of mine was like, hey, why don't you ring announce? And I was like, oh, duh, why not? Because I also, you know, I moonlight as an actor. I've done theater work. I've done all sorts of things, voice study. And, that just, it blew my mind how obvious that was such an option. I never thought of it. So I actually got into MMA first. I did a few shows for a company called Defiant Promotions. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. they went under. But got myself into the MMA and kickboxing scene, which I'm pretty big here in Southern California. And then from there, my same friend goes, well, you're doing MMA and kickboxing shows. Why don't you do wrestling shows too? And again, it's like, duh, sure. So fortunately, I talked to Thunder Rosa, who, if you don't know, an amazing, amazing female wrestling talent. She used to be a local in Southern California. And at the time, mm-hmm. she and her husband were running a promotion called Sabotage. And they were mm-hmm. looking for a ring announcer. And I asked and said, hey, can I try? They gave me the shot. And then from there, it just, you know, fortunately, and this is for any business, I believe, if you work hard at it and if you're decent enough at it, people will recognize that talent and you will start to kind of get yourself here and there and everywhere. And so from there, I've been able to be very fortunate to work at a lot of promotions, including, like you said, Future Stars Wrestling in Vegas. But that's how I got myself in there.
Do you think that sometimes it's a little bit of who you know in terms, you know, just like in acting, you know, you have your auditions, you have your reel, you have people who've seen you, but really it's networking. And have you, mm-hmm. you know, have you established a good, you know, networking base over the time that you've been doing it mm-hmm. to where, you know, you're getting enough opportunities that, you know, let's say coming out to Vegas isn't like killing you in the pocketbook. It's now where you're able to, you know, go and make at least, you know, a decent earning for yourself where it's part of your livelihood.
Sure. It really is. It's I went to USC for college, and the joke, but the motto is of USC, it's not what you know, it's who you know. It really is very, very true. in all aspects. Acting, wrestling is the same way. And again, just like with acting, it's also luck. It's being at the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
You know, very good example of my networking. The reason why I got the FSW job is because of Douglas James, who, again, if you don't know Douglas James, Ironheart, one of the most talented wrestlers in Southern California. There's a bunch of them, but Douglas James is just as talented as anybody. And he actually was the one that pitched me to Joe DeFalco, who runs FSW. He pitched my name. Joe hit me up and said, "Hey, Douglas James said you're good. Do you mind coming over?" And I was like, "Fine." That's how I got the job. If it wasn't for Douglas bringing my name up, I never would have. I didn't even know. I'll be honest, I didn't know FSW at that point. I had no clue what FSW was. But if it wasn't for Douglas James pitching my name, and then obviously you have to be able to get the job too. You know,
I mean,
your reputation can precede you, but you have to earn it as well. You know, that's a big motivation, a little bit of pressure. If somebody vouches for you, you know, you don't want to embarrass them or make their word look crappy if you don't deliver what they said that you could do. So, but yeah, I mean, you have to have that ability. And yeah, my network is really good. Again, another one, Bart Kavasky, who runs AWS here in Southern California, did a co-promotion with Rise. Kevin Harvey runs from out of Chicago.
Yeah.
And Rise and Shimmer did a co-show with Bart. I work for Bart, and Bart saw me do a show with in San Diego. And that's how Bart asked me to work for him. And Bart totally pitched me and talked me up to Kevin, said, "Hey, I got a guy who's great for a ring announcer." And Kevin gave me a shot, loved me, and then when Shimmer and Rise do their thing in Chicago, they called me and said, "Hey, do you want to come down to Chicago?" And I said, "Sure." So it is about networking, but it is also, you have to have the goods too.
You know,
people can talk you up, but if you can't hit out that home run out of the park when the pitch is given to you, you know, you can easily just kind of fall on your face. But yeah, I've been very, very fortunate. And I mean, I'll be honest with you, the last part of your question, announcers don't necessarily make great money, and I'm never going to complain about it. I do a lot of what I do. I purely do it because I love it. I love going to Vegas. I always tell people it's my second home. It has been even before wrestling. I used to go to Vegas all the time growing up. So, you know, I lose a little bit of money, but I love doing it. I'm never going to turn down Joe. If Joe says, "Hey, do you want to do a show?" I'll always jump at a show because I love it. But I've been fortunate to make money here and there. But I really, you know, it's one of those things where you can't just be in it for the money. You got to also love it. And I do love what I do with the announcing. So I've been very fortunate with that.
Definitely, man. And now, obviously, you had mentioned that you've done some acting. I mean, not too many people can say that they filmed anything with Chuck Norris. But you were fortunate to be part of a Toyota commercial. For those that aren't aware, you attempted to attack a Chuck Norris Signature Series Toyota Tundra. How was that shoot? Did you interact very much with Chuck? And just tell us about it.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. I'm very, very fortunate with that. And the truck, the concept of it is that the truck, once it got signed by Chuck Norris, it became Truck Norris. So the truck was it wasn't just any truck. It was Truck Norris that knocked me out. Unfortunately, wasn't able to work with Chuck, but I did work with Truck Norris. So that was a highlight of my career. But going into the audition process, really what it was, they originally wanted someone that can portray Bruce Lee. A lot of people always tell me just aesthetic wise, they're like, "Dude, you're Bruce Lee." I'm like, "Oh yeah, okay." So when I went in for the audition, you know, that's pretty much what the director just looks at me and goes, "Dude, you're it." And I was like, "Oh, okay." So and then from there it kind of evolved into a little bit different. I mean, if you saw the markup in the original draft for the commercial, it definitely was a lot more Bruce Lee-ish. And then they kind of changed my garb and my character, so obviously I don't look like Bruce Lee anymore. But it was a lot of fun. The funny story of that one, real quick, is that when we went in for the commercial, and honestly, I've had a lot of fun on set. This was actually one of the rare times where it kind of almost was a disaster. We had the truck. All it really was again, I was going to do a flying kick, and I was going to get the door kind of slammed into my face. You know, no big deal. You know, I grew up doing stunts first before acting, so no problem. You know, and we talked about the director, everything's cool, all the sets, everything. Right before I'm about to go do my thing, and the director yells, "Action!" All of a sudden, I hear this voice going, "Wait!" And I was like, "Wait!" And if you've never been on a set before, no one stops the filming except for the director. The director is the only one that can say cut. So right. If anybody says, wait, stop, no. You go, unless the director himself says cut. So I was a little confused because it wasn't the director saying it, but the way the voice sounded was very authoritative, and so it made me stop. I was like, wait, what's going on? And this dude just walks out in front of me and goes, wait, is he going to run into that door? And everyone on the set's like, yeah. And the dude's like, no, that is not going to happen. And then the director kind of goes, okay, cut. And I was like, what the fuck's going on? I'm sorry, I don't know if I could cuss or not, but what the heck's going on? And I find out later that guy was the liaison with Toyota. And basically, they only had one Toyota truck on set. And so obviously if I was going to jump into that door, I was going to leave a dent. And they didn't have another door or another panel. So this was the legit limited edition truck. So they were not wanting me to dent the truck. And so basically, and again, we already went over like what I was going to do. They had the mock up. They saw, you know, my character going to the door. But apparently this was news to the Toyota guy going, wait a minute, you can't have him run into the door. So we started talking about, okay, is there any way you could not hit the door or kind of pretend that you hit the door, like fly and then fall, like just stop midair and just kind of collapse right in front of the door? And I was like, well, that defies physics, but we can try. And the director is, like, not having it. You know, he was upset because he's like, no, guys, this is how the shot's supposed to be. You can't have him do that. It's not going to look good. But, you know, the Toyota guy, no, because we can't have him dent the truck. Otherwise, you know, what are we going to do? We can't dent the truck. And so literally 30 minutes of just back and forth. Finally, the Toyota guy gets his way. The director goes, okay. Don't touch the door. And I was like, yeah, sure, that's fine. I can control myself. I won't hit the door. Okay, so we film, I go flying, and I force myself to drop right before the door, and you know, I can even tell it's probably not looking good. It doesn't look realistic. But of course the Toyota guy goes, oh, that was great, that was wonderful, that looked amazing. The director goes, no, that looked horrible, you can tell he doesn't even touch the door, you know. And then the Toyota guy goes, well, just take it from a different angle, make it look like you hit the door. So we do a couple more. And it's, you know, the director is getting very frustrated. You could tell because it's not what he wants. Finally, the director kind of comes to me and whispers in my ear, goes, on this one, just hit the fucking door. And I was like, so next thing you know, action. I run full into the door. Bam. And the Toyota guy is screaming his head off, goes, what are you doing? And sure enough, I left a dent in the door. But, I mean, it was what it was supposed to be. And the director is just smiling, but he's not saying anything. But the Toyota guy is yelling at me, going, oh, my God. What did you – didn't I just tell you not to do that? Look at you dented the door. Well, I hope you're happy. You just got yourself a truck because now we can't – you ruined this truck. I hope you're happy. And the director just comes in and goes, Don't worry. You're fine. We're good. You did great. and that was my day of filming. Honestly, I, you know, after that, I really didn't think the commercial was going to happen because so much drama with all that. I thought, man, they're never going to air this. This commercial is never going to happen. So I was really happy in the end when it showed, and it looked good. I was like, oh, hey, look, they took the one where I actually hit the door. That's great. You know? But like I said, that was the most stressful, like, good grief. Well, should have been like a real easy shoot. Ended up being like an extra hour or two just because of all that drama with the Toyota guy. But yeah, so sorry, that was a longer story than it probably should have been. But that was my story with filming for that one.
No, that was awesome. That was awesome.
What kind of video games are you into right now?
I'll be honest with you, my video game playing, it's really non-existent anymore. Like, you know, when I was growing up, I was really into fighting games, you know, not to date myself, but like Street Fighter II, the original Mortal Kombat. There was a game called Killer Instinct, which was just epic at its time with fighting games. But I was all about the fighting games growing up. But then, you know, when I started getting a little bit older and realizing the play factor of fighting games, you can get through fighting games pretty quickly, you know. And I usually only pick one person, like Liu, to go through Street Fighter, and I don't usually pick anybody else to play. So once I beat a fighting game, you know, it's kind of done. So I realized if I want, like, a lot of playing time, switch over to RPGs, role-playing games. And so I got really into role-playing games as I got older. Final Fantasy, there was a game that I still think is like the best role-playing game ever, Chrono Trigger, which if anybody has a simulator or an emulator, get an emulator of Chrono Trigger, one of the best role-playing games ever. But the problem with role-playing games is that it does take a lot of time to beat.
Right.
And as I got older, I just didn't have the time to invest in playing video games anymore. I had so much other things to do, like working out and stuff. So really, I don't play video games anymore. You know, I usually leave that to like Leva plays all sorts of video games, and she's always trying to get me into it. Like, she loves Overwatch, and I tried a few times. I'm not a big fan of Overwatch, but you know, that kind of style, that first-person shooter, I was never good at.
Yeah.
So I kind of, you know, like growing up, there was a game called GoldenEye based off of the James Bond character.
Yep.
And lot of my friends and I, we used to play that all the time, and I would lose all the time. I would lose all the freaking time. And I just, because I just could never aim and shoot at people. For whatever reason, my targeting was just always off, and people would just...
I'm right there with you.
Headshots. Yeah, so I was like, well, screw this. And then that's kind of the games that are very popular nowadays, those kind of first person. So I'm like, oh, forget it. I'm not good at those. But I'll tell you also another game that I was really a big fan of, those old school wrestling games back in the day, like NWA versus WCW, World War III, No Mercy. Oh, my God. My friends and I would have just parties just playing those games. Those are the best games. Those are some of the best. Just taunting people like crazy to build up your little power meter, and then using your finisher. Yeah, those were like the best games back in the day. So yeah, but yeah, that was what I was really into back in the day. But other than that, video games, I just don't have the time. That's it. Last thing I think I touched system wise, I think the last system I played was like a PlayStation 2.
Wow.
I think that's the last system that I owned and played was a PlayStation 2. So everything after that kind of just blew by me.
Yeah. So basically what you're saying is you don't play too many video games, but you were actually listed as part of a cast for Mass Effect 3 released in 2012.
What was that
process like, and how was it different than like a normal acting performance?
Oh, sure. So that one was just a pure, again, just pure luck, being at the right place at the right time. One of my friends sent me an email saying, hey, there's this posting, they're looking for face models for a video game, and they needed people with a really good, like, defined, like, jawline and, like, figure and on the face. And you know, he said, you got a pretty defined face, why don't you try it? I was like, I don't know. Yeah, just do it. All right, fine. So, you know, so luckily, just because I was kind of urged to do it, I sent my, and they called me back and said, hey, we like your photos. Why don't you come in and let's talk? And I was like, okay. So, and again, at this point, not into games at all. Had no clue what, I knew what Mass Effect was, but I wasn't the biggest fan of it. But, you know, when I went in, you know, they were telling me, yeah, so we're going to, you're going to be the model of a character. And two, when I was going in, I was thinking, oh, yeah, I'll probably just be like a random, like a village person or like, you know, just a background character, you know. But the way they're talking is like, yeah, so you're going to be this character. It's going to be like a main character. And I was like, wait, main character? What are you guys talking about? And they're like, oh, yeah, yeah, first, wait, hold on. Sign this, this NDA form so you can't talk about afterwards. Yep. All right, so. Mass Effect. We're doing Mass Effect 2, and you are going to be one of the main villains, Kai Lang. And I was like, what? So yeah, it became a huge thing. And so what, basically for that one, what it was really a lot of stop motion and capturing. They scanned my face in, which was kind of cool. They had me sitting on a rotating little platform, and these three cameras were kind of just like filming my face, and as I was just going in a circular motion, just kind of recording every aspect of my face. And then I had to mimic my mouth to form, you know, I forgot how many letters it was, like certain letters and enunciations that basically your face goes through when you just do regular speech, so that way they can kind of just move my mouth according to whatever the lines are. And then had me move my body, you know, here and there, and to a few different movements. Honestly, it only took like 2 days to do, so, but it was still a lot of fun because like, oh, that's cool, being a video game. But yeah, and then ended up being a major character in that video game franchise. And the funniest, also kind of like, I don't know, also kind of degrading part of it was like a lot of my friends would just tell me like, yeah, 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 so you're in this game, it's really cool. By the way, just killed you. but it's really cool you're in the game. I was like, oh, thanks guys, yeah, appreciate it, you know. So but yeah, that was really cool. That was a very cool part of it. But yeah, again, just pure luck. And yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Does the
awesome dude,
does the video game, does that industry, is it like the entertainment industry, the acting industry, where you get residuals for the sales of the game?
No. Well, you know, I'll be honest with you. So that was done when I was non-union. So
okay.
For those who don't know, you know, there is such a thing as a union in the acting world, which is SAG and AFTRA. And when you're in union, you know, there's certain rules that you have to abide by, but usually union jobs are bigger paid. They'll also are the ones that will get you the residuals because that's part of the SAG-AFTRA rules, and that's why you kind of want to join a SAG or a SAG-AFTRA, because then you can kind of get protected with those union rules.
Right.
Unfortunately, there's a lot more jobs out there that are not union, and the way to build up your resume is you got to try to do as many non-union jobs to eventually get union. So when I got that Mass Effect one, that was a non-union. And so usually with non-unions, they won't pay you residuals.
Right.
What they'll do is they'll give you a big lump sum first up front to kind of appease you. Like, look, you're getting all this money. And then you realize later, like, if you did commercials, like, oh, man, I could have made so much more on residuals.
Yep.
Yeah. But, you know, it is what it is. But to answer your question, I don't know how that works. I haven't done a union video game job. I don't know if they get residuals off of how many units are bought or whatever. So I don't really know about that.
Yeah, I've not done a video game under any kind of union contract. But I definitely know what you're talking about with the lump sum buyout, where you do the whatever it is.
When you're young,
yep,
yeah. When you're young, it just looks so appealing. Like, oh damn, you're paying me how much? Wow.
Yeah.
And then you realize later, you know, especially when you start doing some union projects, you're like,
yeah,
damn, you get a lot more money on residuals. You know, I actually, I still get, granted, they're very, very small checks now, but I still get residuals from a scene that I did for a show called Scorpion, which isn't even running anymore. It's all syndication.
Right.
And it was a couple of years ago. I still get residual checks from doing that scene in Scorpion for people watching it online or, you know, on their streaming service. So, I mean, yeah, you can make a lot of money just by residuals, which is where I think all the money is if you do union stuff. So,
what's really funny that you say that is, I think it was, oh, shoot, I actually, now that I thought about it, I still have to go cash these before they expire. I literally have two checks for Tosh.0. And
there you go.
Yeah, and it's I think I'm gonna be cashing a whopping 24 cents.
There you go. Yeah, honestly, I've gotten like one of my last residual checks for that was like 6 cents. I was like, guys, it costs you more money to print this check and mail it to me than the 6 cents. You guys gotta just save that money, you know. So
and on top of it. What my favorite part is the fact that they take out taxes on those checks.
Mm-hmm. It's like, so actually it was like 15 cents. Yeah. And then they took like 5 cents out of that. So.
Yeah.
Well, you know, everybody has to get their money somehow. So.
Yeah. I hope my nickel goes a long way.
Hey, every penny counts. Every penny helps apparently. You know,
definitely, man. So really quick, Josh, we've discussed how important physical fitness is. What kind of recommendations or words would you have for people that maybe were going to a gym and doing their best for, you know, getting physically fit? And obviously during the quarantine, gyms are closed. So now there has to be more self-reliance, whereas, you know, previously you could just show up to a building and, you know, do your thing. What kind of things would you recommend to somebody that that might be listening that has been affected by this?
Sure. No, we all have, unfortunately. Like, I myself as well, my local gym is closed, and unfortunately I don't have the luxury of a home gym like some people are fortunate enough of having. But really, you know, first and foremost, I think, is as hard as it is, and I'm kind of guilty of this as well, is you got to try to find a way to maintain a schedule, which, you know, especially now, like a lot of people are like, why do you need a schedule? What are you going to be doing, you know, during this quarantine? But you need to find a way to kind of maintain a daily or every other day or, you know, a couple times a week schedule of when you're going to work out, just like you would normally do when you go to a gym. If you can maintain that schedule, as they say when it comes to fitness, the hardest part is showing up, you know. And granted, now there is no building to show up to, but theoretically, showing up in this case is just getting your mindset you are going to work out at this time. So whether it's 9 o'clock on a Wednesday or if it's 4 p.m. on a Thursday, you've got to make sure, hey, it's Thursday, 4 p.m., I'm working out. At 9 o'clock, Wednesday, I'm working out. And you have to set to that schedule. For routine itself, you know, I tell people, you know, I set the example that I work out like 4 hours a day. You don't have to do that extreme, you know, and you don't have to do a lot of heavy lifting here and there. Really, especially right now, I would say the thing to focus on is just moving and a lot of body weight movement. So squats. So if you can do push-ups, even if you're not good at certain things, you know, modify. If you have to do your push-ups on your knees, jumping jacks. I would say it definitely would be a good routine is to do a lot of reps, high intensity. That way, even though you may not have the space to run around or to move or equipment to do it, but if you do like a routine of 10 jumping jacks, 10 squats, 10 push-ups, and you give yourself a time limit of you have to do all that in 90 seconds and then give yourself 30 seconds to rest, do that five times, I guarantee you, you're going to be winded. You're going to be sweating. And you get yourself a good little burn there. And all you're doing is jumping jacks, push-ups, and squats. You know, real simple things. You don't even need equipment. But if you even want an extra challenge, find something around. Like Viva, one of her hardest things is to do the same thing like I'm talking about. And she doesn't even have weights around, but she'll improvise. She has a cat. She has a big bag of kitty litter. That's what she uses to do weighted squats. She'll hold that bag of kitty litter and she'll squat with it. She'll use it for deadlifts. She'll do deadlifts to pick up the kitty litter. I have a weight vest that I put a 20-pound weight vest and a 10-pound weight vest. I put them in a duffel bag, and I use that for my squats. I'll put it on my shoulders and do a back squat with them. I'll pick it up and down and do deadlifts with it. You know, I'll curl them to do bicep curls. You know, you got to kind of be a little creative with things that are around you. And it's not going to be like super, super heavy. Rarely do you have an item in your house that you can lift that's 50 pounds or more, but you don't need that. You can lift something a little bit smaller, just do a lot of reps. You know, it's the typical, what we like to do when we try to lean out the muscles. You do high reps, but low weights. So instead of just muscling out like 10 reps of something heavy, go 20 reps of something light, go 30 reps of something light. You'll still get quite a bit of a burn, and you're actually going to be burning a lot more fat when you do that. So, again, you can do something very, very simple and just do a lot of it. I would say, especially now because you have the time, you know, maybe if you only did 30 minutes of workout when you normally were working out, try to push for 45. Try to push for an hour. You know, you could do some little sprints around your neighborhood. Yeah, you know, you could do, again, jumping jack and sprint down the street, squat and sprint back up the street, jumping jack, sprint back down the street. Do that a couple of times. You know, you can find simple little routines. If you do a bunch of times, you can build yourself quite a bit of a workout, you know. And again, the key is you just got to be disciplined to do it, and you got to set that routine. So, sure, you're motivated on day one. Yeah, I'm here. I'm going to do the workout. But then you don't do day two, or you don't do day three, or you don't do day four. You know, you got to keep yourself on that schedule. That's going to be the most important part. And then as long as you keep on the schedule and you find little things that you can do around the house, squats, push-ups, jumping jacks, burpees. I love burpees, but I know everybody hates burpees. But, you know, little simple things that you can do you don't need a lot of equipment for. You know, you can find a pretty good workout to kind of get yourself moving. And again, don't feel that you have to do a huge amount, but just do something that'll get you moving, something that'll get you sweating, and then be consistent on it. Do it, you know, every other day, do it two times a week, but make sure you're consistent on it. That's going to be key. Don't fall off of it. Especially now, you really have no excuse to not stick to something like that if you can, you know.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for that.
So
yeah, sure. Oh, also too, what's also really important as well is also just eating well as well. And I know that's really hard, especially with the quarantine, but you got to be careful with what you eat, because as they say, the success is built in the kitchen more so than in the gym. So you just got to be careful with what you eat. You know, try not to overindulge. When I talk about eating habits with people, I hate to use the word diet, because diet has such a negative connotation. And when I tell people, if I tell somebody to not do something, immediately your reaction is, I want to do it.
Right.
So I never tell anybody, you can't eat this, you can't eat that, you can't eat that. Just eat less. You know, if you love cookies, all right, instead of maybe having 5 cookies a day, just have 2. Maybe just have 1, you know. Maybe just have 1 cookie every other day. You know, don't have them every day. You know, you can still have the cookie. You just can't eat as many as you would like. You know, you just got to be a little bit more disciplined in moderation. But, you know, if you just eat a little bit better, I guarantee you that will be your big success. You know, taking soda out of your diet, or at least going into maybe a diet soda or a zero sugar soda, you will see such a difference just by doing that, you know, without even working out. You know, just try it. Just try to take soda a little bit out of your diet. And you'll be amazed with the results you can have. So that's also going to be important as well. But yeah, just routine, discipline. A lot of it's hard, like I said before, but it's not impossible. You got to be a little bit disciplined with it.
So the big question during this quarantine time is,
sure,
what are you watching?
That's actually a really good question. I'm a huge sports fan, so that kind of goes out the window.
It sucks, yeah, no kidding.
But yeah. But also too, because of the way my schedule has been, I actually was really, really behind on my DVR with a lot of shows I've been meaning to kind of catch up on. And so now I've kind of been able to catch up at least a good chunk of it now. So, like, for example, I'm on the final episode of The Good Place, which is a great comedy.
Yeah.
If you've never heard of it before, I would highly recommend watching The Good Place. I'm on the very last episode of the season, I mean, of the series now.
Yeah.
So if you've never watched it, highly recommend. You can now binge the entire show. It's really good. There's a show called The Outsiders, which is on HBO. A really creepy noir kind of drama, whodunit murder mystery. I'm starting that one. It's really good. The Magicians is one of my favorite sci-fi show.
Yeah.
If you've never heard of The Magicians, it's on the Sci-Fi Channel. I always tell people it's X-Men mixed with Harry Potter with a little bit of a rated R.
Yeah.
Because there's sex and a lot of violence and stuff, but man, it's so good. So I'm catching up on that. So yeah, those shows are shows that I've been watching. Leva has kind of gotten me into some K-dramas, so I've been watching a few of those. But yeah, so a little bit of that. I've been watching a few wrestling shows here and there, especially with, you know, WrestleMania season being what it is now. I just watched WrestleMania 10, which is one of my favorite WrestleManias, Bret beating Yoko for the title in the main event. So yeah, I've been watching, you know, those shows pretty much. That's pretty much what I've been catching up on now with the quarantine. So the one positive of it is being able to just catch up on shows that I've been able to watch.
And are you guys, is she in LA during this, or is she stuck?
No, she's in Florida. She's in Florida still.
Yeah.
We were doing a long distance relationship, which, you know, it still works.
Sure.
Fortunately for us, actually in a couple of weeks time, I'm, if the airport stays open, I'm going to go fly out to Florida and help her move. So hopefully, you know, that happens. But yeah, no, she's over there. She's doing great. It's you know, the quarantine affects everybody, so
yeah,
they're feeling a little bit in Florida as well. She's doing fortunately for her with AEW, she's still able to work with some office stuff, so you know, it's she's able to keep herself busy with that. I know right now it's really, really tough for a lot of wrestlers. I have a lot of friends that are, you know, independent wrestlers in here in SoCal and across the country and the world, actually.
Yeah.
And it breaks my heart to hear all of them not being able to do their shows, a large part of their income. And, you know, it's tough. It's really, really tough. You know, I hope that they can find out ways, and I hope that fans can support them. I know it's hard for everybody. You know, fans also, they're not most of them aren't working either.
Right.
So it's kind of hard to support everybody. If you're not making money, how can you help someone else make money? But, you know, like we were just talking about, every little penny helps. So anything that anybody can do, buy merch, pick up a subscription if you can, watch somebody's wrestling show, you know, I think that'd be great. Because, again, a lot of people are unfortunately not able to do anything, and that's very, very tough. So, yeah, hopefully we can kind of support each other, and hopefully we can, this ends a little bit quicker than some people projecting, but we all got to do our part on that.
And really quick, before we wrap up, where can anyone who's listening and they want to follow you and get to know a little bit more about Josh Shibata, what are your social handles? What can they look for you, on social media?
Sure. Well, you know, I'll be honest, I'm not a huge presence on social media just because I'm not very good at it.
Let me throw this out there too. If there are any female people listening, any fans who love Josh, you got to follow the IG just for the workout pictures, man.
Sure.
It's unbelievable,
yeah.
Brother.
I was going to get to that one. Oh, thank you. Yeah, I mean, going back again, I'm not very good at it. When it comes to, like, promoting myself as a announcer or whatever work-wise, you know, Levi's is like a pro at it, and certain wrestlers are really, really good at it, like really getting themselves out there. They're really, really good. I'm like not very good at it. But on the Facebook where I'm usually posting, my Facebook is just my name, Joshua Shibata. I'm one of the rare few that my work name and my real name are the same. On Twitter is the one occasion where it's a little bit different. It's actually my Japanese name. It's at Hideaki Shibata, H-I-D-E-A-K-I, Shibata 1, I believe. And the Twitter is where I would basically put a lot of my, like, hey, I'm a ring announcer here or there. But again, I'm not very good at that, but it's there. It's there if you want it. And then, yes, the IG, at SoCal Showdown Josh, that one is purely for my fitness. I put a lot of my workouts up there. I try to help people keep motivated to work out and just to show that, you know, it's hard, but, you know, if you just keep doing it, little by little, it gets a little bit more manageable. And
yeah.
Again, the workouts that I do are a little bit more on the intense side. So, you know, if you want to follow them and do them, great. But don't be like, oh my God, this was so hard. I must be horrible and weak at it. No, it's a really hard workout. But yeah, that's for the fitness aspect of it. But yeah, if you want to follow those, that's where I'm at.
Well, I, you know, I love you as a performer, man. You are amazing. And anytime I know that we see you out here, or, you know, if we happen to see you in California, or if I'm watching something and you show up, it's always a pleasure, man. And I hope that
no, I appreciate it.
More people will, you know, get to know you, follow you. And hopefully once this virus settles down and things get back and working, we'll be able to start giving out some dates so people can actually, you know, get a chance to meet you and follow you around the circuit.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Yeah, I feel, you know, I'm always trying to be a little bit more positive, optimistic about life. I think, you know, this will be over sooner than what people predict. But again, it takes an effort of everybody to kind of follow by the rules and do their part. But even at the same time, just, you know, during this moment of kind of uncertainty and a little bit of fear, just to keep cooler heads, as they say, cooler heads prevail. Let's try to work together, not against each other. And like I said, if you can support, you know, some of the wrestlers that are out there that have no other form of income, you know, that'd be great. But again, I understand everybody's kind of hurting right now. So, you know, but again, if anything, if we can all unite together, we can get through this together. And the quicker we can do that, the quicker we can get to, you know, being back to normal and watching wrestling shows and going to wrestling shows.
Yep.
And I think that'd be really cool. But again, it's going to be a group effort on that one.
Well, it's been awesome talking with you, brother. And again, everyone, if you don't know Josh's work, you know, look for him online, follow him, and get to know him, because he is an A-plus dude. And, you know, we can't say enough good things about you, brother. And thank you for coming on with us,
man. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.